It's our prayers for the Lord to bless his word today. We would like to begin this morning in Matthew 13, reading verses 51 and 52. And Jesus said unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" And they said, "Yea, Lord." And then said he unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." We come to our services. We hear the word of God preached many times throughout a span of 1 year. And when we think about a lifetime, we've heard many things over and over. And yet, even though they may be old, and maybe we have heard them numerous times, they can still be new. They can be renewed to us. People are, and always have been, and always will be, need to be reminded. When a student goes to the first grade, it's not the last time that he uses a math fact of 1 plus 1. It's not the last time that he studies what the sounds are in the alphabet. But he uses it, graduating to another grade, and finally graduating from the 12th grade. And all of that is not new, it's almost old, but he's continually learning from it. And that's how it is in the Word of God. And I believe it can be a treasure to us if we treasure it. If we place a value on the Word of God when we hear it. And possibly even when we hear the ministers that may repeat their stories. Do you get tired of it? I don't. One thing I observed from the ministers of old is that they told stories about their experiences or others' experiences. They told them over and over. Partly because there are generations that are coming on that haven't heard it. So we that have heard it, we bear with it. But I appreciated it. Always appreciated it. So this morning, it's nothing new. It will be old. And I'm thinking also of a scripture over in Peter that he said he wanted to stir up our pure minds. We are all in a world of distraction. The enemy is doing all that he can to distract our minds, to hinder us in our mind, to hold on and maintain the word of God, or the blessing of the Lord even. So oftentimes we have to be reminded of many things along the way. The next thought that we have is from a little phrase of a song, and it says, "Change and decay in all around I see." And I know what's next, but I don't want to deal with it yet. Because I want us to think a little bit about change. And then the next scripture that is very familiar, but we're going to read it anyway. It's found in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And we want to read several verses, first verse through 7. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, you might say he was writing of his time, Timothy was. Every generation since that time has read this. My grandfather no doubt preached on this. Maybe your grandparents read it over and over and heard it preached. But here we are, 2014, and we're still reading it. And those other generations came to their end, and they are buried. Yesterday, we had a family reunion from my mother's side of the family up in Kansas. And we always start out with our reunion by speaking about our grandparents. My grandfather was Robert Johnson, and my grandmother was Sarah. And they were in another religions, churches. But we always tell how they found the Lord, found the truth, found the Church of God. And when you look at the group that is gathered together there, and how many have chosen the same way, what a heritage. Well, there was one that I'm not familiar with her. She is my first cousin's daughter, but we're not around them except at a reunion about every 2 years. And she, when we got through with our little memorial service, you might say, we read off all of the names of those who have passed on. And then we were going to have prayer. And she stood up. Now, to look at her, you would say, you know, what do you know about prayer? Piercings, tattoos. She doesn't have a lot of understanding of her heritage, of what the grandparents were. But she requested to be able to give us a request. And it was so sad. As her tears and her mascara went down her face, she told of her children that the judge has placed her children with their father. And it's proof that they have been sexually molested. And she's the one that cannot visit them, and she's asking for prayer. Well, we could look at that request and we would say, how was it in Grandma and Grandpa's time? The change that took place from my grandparents to this generation of which she is has been drastic. If those who have gone on before were to resurrect, which we know they will not till the great day, but we're going to just imagine, if they were to come back for one day, would they be shocked? They would. As we prayed for this woman, we don't know what's in her life. We don't know why the judge took such a stand. We know we're in a changing world. And the song says, change and decay is all around me. I see it everywhere. And so we read this scripture and it says, in the last days is going to be perilous times, very dangerous times. And I don't believe he's speaking entirely of the violence of our world, though we are in a very violent world. And that does trouble our minds. It does not destroy our faith, but it is a concern for the kind of world that is developing and changing all around us. But the writer here begins to present to us identifying marks of why it's going to be so perilous. And I believe what he's trying to say here is that the end times, the day that you and I are living, the peril is in the spiritual realm more so than in the physical realm. We're not discounting the physical realm. But we see great dangers all around us. If you make heaven, I believe that God has all power and can keep you and me. And that there is absolutely a way for you and me to make heaven. I do not doubt it for a second. But I have to stop and consider what the writer says. And then he says, men are going to love themselves. Men are going to be very considerate of only themselves. And it says that they're going to be covetous. And they're going to be boasters, proud. They're going to be blasphemers, disobedient to parents, disregarding authority. This is all around us. People are disregarding authority, whether it be parents or whether it be those in authority. There's going to be people who are unthankful and unholy. There's going to be people without natural affection. Truce breakers. You can't depend on their word. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. There's going to be people that are despisers of those that are good. There's going to be traitors. People who are heady, high-minded. You could lump them with people that are proud and haughty. It's all around us. There's going to be people that's going to love pleasure more than God. Their flesh will just reach out and yearn for and feast on pleasures. But when it comes to the things of God, they will have very little, if no, interest in the things of God. This describes our time and our world. And these things have always been in all generations to some degree in which it appeared to be very strong, very of a magnitude to every generation. Remember that, because I'm going to talk about change in a little bit, that we can see what the enemy has done to our society as well as to past generations. So, despisers of good, love pleasures, they're just going to have a form of godliness. We are in a world that it has never been more so, where people are just taking on a form, but denying the power of true salvation. Then it says, from such turn away. Does that mean we reject these people and we're not going to ever have anything to do with these people? Scripture says that you and I are in this world, but we are not of this world. It speaks of us being only strangers and pilgrims, and we have to live in this world. But what he's saying here for us to turn away from is the spirits of these things. That these spirits cannot attach themselves to us and affect us and influence us and cause us to take on just a form, but deny the power of it. Don't let that happen to you. Ever keep awake and alert to the fact that this could happen to you and me. We're in this world. The next verse, I'm not going to read it all exactly. I just want to bring it to our minds. It says, this sort will creep into houses. You think these are going to creep inside your house without you knowing it? I want to tell you what house he's talking about. It's your house. It's your soul, your life, your mind, your spirit. And what it will do is lead, it says, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. I want to tell you, it's not just women. It's humanity. And the devil wants to lead you and me into a captivity. We're going to understand it a little bit more. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I find this passage, how often do you read it? It's not a favorite passage, is it? So we need to be reminded. We can get caught up. We can get caught up with good things and not remember that this is going to happen and is happening. Not going to, is. Daniel said a little thing. I want to just insert a phrase from what Daniel wrote. And he's speaking of Satan. And what he said Satan, he didn't use the word Satan. But if you read it, you'll understand the context of it. He is speaking of what Satan's plan and purpose is. It is to change the times and the laws. Do you believe that? Believe Satan has a purpose to even change the laws of our land? Turn with me to the 7th chapter of Genesis. I'm going to read verses 1 and 7 and 10 and 11. Just sort of give us a little setting for our thought this morning. Passage here is concerning Noah, concerning the age, the time that he lived. The scripture tells us that men's hearts were evil continually. It says that there was violence. There was unbelief. They were denying God. God allowed this to happen for 120 years in the making of the ark. And according to the scriptures, Noah was preaching a message of salvation or deliverance through the ark, of belief in God. He was preaching something they had not ever seen before. Rain. It had never rained. It had never flooded ever. Because God had a way of watering the earth that was not with the rain that you and I experience today. And it was at this time, and from this time forward, he used rain to water the earth. But nevertheless, let's look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Verse 7 now. And Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark. And verse 10 now. And it came to pass that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And the latter part of verse 11. The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. If you look at some, this Bible doesn't have it, but I have another Bible that has a reference. You know, some of your Bibles will say this being written in Hebrew, it will give other words that were written in Hebrew, and it can be translated this way or this way. And oftentimes they'll take that and they'll put it out to the side with a little number or something, and it will let you understand that it either way is right. And so that's how this one is. In Hebrew, when it said that the fountains of the great deep were broken up, it also could be said the floodgates were open. You see, literally, God had prepared for this flood with huge amounts of water in the earth, inside the earth, as well as the canopy all around the earth where the water was reserved. Now, just as a little inserting thought here, over in the New Testament now, what does it say that the earth is, what is reserved now for something that has never happened before? This had never happened before. The water was reserved for that purpose. Fire is now reserved. It is waiting. It is prepared to take an action on this earth to fulfill the word of God that this earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. When all of this is over, this earth is not going to be left here. But at this time, there were these fountains that was called fountains. But remember, in Hebrew, it could have been said that the floodgates were opened. This is partly how the whole earth was flooded. Something opened up. And it covered the whole earth. Now, when God said for this to happen, was there any way, would there be any way, that you could gather it all back up and put it back in its place? It was open. If we have dams that are built on huge reservoirs of water in our nation and around the world to preserve water. But there are times that maybe the rain is so much more, it begins to fill the lakes and they have to give relief to them, or it will burst the dams and literally destroy cities, people, lands. And so they have these big dams built exactly where they can control how much water is released to relieve the pressure of too much rain. But when the floodgates are opened, you cannot call it back. You cannot gather it up and put it back in its place. I want you to think on that. I want to give you a definition now for the word change. It's a passing from one phase to another. That's just one definition. There's many definitions for change, but we want to use this one. My mind went to the word evolve. We all don't believe in evolution as it is taught in science. Evolution being in that they're saying that man came from monkeys. We don't believe in those kind of things. We believe that God is just like it said. He created man. They became a living soul. He was not an evolution of some kind of animal that God created to appear with a head and arms and feet and walk upright if he wanted to. So evolve. I want you to think of the word evolve. It's to develop gradually, to expand or to unfold. The thought that we have on our heart has to do with our Oklahoma history. Our state was made a state in 1907. And in 2007, Guthrie was the first city of Oklahoma, was the first capital. Later it was moved. But 7 years ago, they had a little reenactment at Guthrie. If you've ever been down on the street there where the old library was when we were young, there is a statue there of an Indian maid and a cowboy. And it represented two nations coming together, two territories, because Oklahoma was Indian territory. And then it was also Oklahoma territory. And they represented it like a marriage coming together and uniting our whole state. So we attended that. We're interested in those kind of things, being our state. In the process of that and what was presented, they read the initial speech that was given upon statehood. And you might think, well, what was that have to do with us? I think you'll understand. The Lord opened my eyes to see what evolution has done to our state. Change. Our state was once a dry state. You know what that meant? No liquor. We had, it was a law. You would be punished as a criminal if you had liquor in our state. The crave or the hunger or the appetite for liquor was still there. But there were men in our legislature in Oklahoma that said, this cannot be in our state. This is vile. This is wicked. This destroys people's lives. I mean, they probably didn't say it like that, but that was the reasoning behind the moral law that alcohol would not be allowed in the state of Oklahoma. And so because there was still the appetite for it, there were men that would have stills. They were called bootleggers. And they would hide their operation out in the hills or where they thought they would never be caught, but they were caught. And when they were caught, they were punished as a criminal and served time in the prison for making alcohol. Over the years, the appetite for alcohol began to be even more. See, men are vile. They are unclean. If they head down that path, it's a slippery slope. They won't find a place to stop. They will maybe desire to stop, but they can't. It controls them. And so as our society began to grow, with more and more people coming into the state, the desire and the appetite also began to grow. I'm giving you the reasoning behind it. But the speech was, alcohol would not be a part of our state and it would be punishable by law as a crime. And so in time, it began to gradually unfold and develop. Isn't that evolving? And so in our time, it began to be called liquor by the wink. In other words, there were certain restaurants that you could go, and when you gave your drink, you gave your wink, and they would know you wanted liquor. Because they could not serve it openly, see? And so then, here it is, it's going on, but nobody's really getting punished for it now. And so now the legislatures, they're beginning to understand that it's happening anyway. We might as well make it legal. This is the thought process. So it came up for a vote in our time. See, we weren't born in 1907. I was born in 1945. And this would have been in the 1960s. So you see how many years it took to develop, to come to a place that it was presented before the people as a vote? So it was voted and it ran on this. Liquor by the drink, not liquor by the wink. It was a phrase that was in when they were promoting it in our state for voting. And maybe the first time, I can't remember, he might remember. It could have been that the first time it was voted on, it was voted down. But the next time it wasn't. And so here, you that are younger have never known our state to be anything but legalized liquor. And so what happened? We know what has happened. It's all around us. The floodgate has opened. Could we go back now and say, hey, wait a minute, let's rescind this now? Do you think that it would go over? If we started trying to promote a new vote, the floodgates have opened. And you can't go and you can't gather it back up. Our society would absolutely rebel, and it would never happen. Well, you know how it happened in the beginning? It was only a liquor by the drink to be ordered in a restaurant. But the next step was liquor stores. And now anybody can go and buy it as much as they want and take it home. It's just step by step. Gambling. Did you know gambling? This was 1907. Gambling was illegal for the state of Oklahoma. And in the process of time, unfolding, we now have it. The people voted on it. Do you know how they got it passed? They did it under the guise of promoting monies for education. The revenues that the state would gain from gambling, we'll just put that all for our children. The reasoning of that appealed. It was the lottery, yes. The lottery, but it's gambling. But it opened the floodgates. We have gambling casinos now everywhere in the state of Oklahoma. Do you think we could maybe campaign to get them all closed down and do away with the lottery now? You think we could? Would you say that the floodgates are opened? We can't gather it back up. This is the world we're living in. Okay, what about abortion? Did you know abortion was the same way? It was a shock to humanity that anyone would consider aborting a fetus. And where are we today? There's been many people try to get that turned around in our whole nation, and it doesn't work. The floodgates are opened. Assisted suicides. There's a term for it. I couldn't think of it. When a doctor has the right, this one may not be 100% popular and it may not be totally accepted, but the working of it is in the process.
Euthanasia.
Yes, euthanasia. Where somebody that is terminally ill and they know they're going to die anyway, and be careful because we could almost reason this out and sound logical. Because right now there are people that are on life support and they feel to take them off of life support would be committing murder or suicide. Do you see the irrational thoughts? But here's one that knows they're going to die. They're terminally ill. They don't want to go through the process. There are doctors that will end their life. Is it right? That's what's in our world. Now what's the next one? Legalized drugs. Colorado has already legalized marijuana. And if you look at the statistics, just about every evil thing that can come from it has escalated. And already there are other states that are contemplating and considering legalizing drugs or marijuana in their state. And you just mark my words, it will not be that many years away, and Oklahoma will be faced with that question too. Evolution. The floodgates are open. Probably the one thing that we're all having in our minds, even as this is going forth, is what we're all faced with now, and we thought we would never be. In our day, and maybe even in yours, that are Brother Robin's age, Dan and Cheryl, we would have never believed we would be in a time that we are right now with same-sex marriage. Amen. Now let's read some scripture. Isaiah 5. I'm going to read verses 20 and 24. 20 through 24. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. The latter part of verse 24 says, because they have cast away the law of the Lord and despised the Holy One of Israel. We are living in a world where there are people that claim to be Christians and support these things. In reality, they are despising the law of the Lord, and they're despising the word of God. Right today, to preach a message like this, to name even anything about same-sex marriage could be counted as a hate crime. There is fast coming a time when we will probably be very limited what we can say along those lines, and it may be sooner than we think.
Yes.
It is because men hate the laws of God and do not accept them as being God's word. So, for the sake of justifying our statements, let's turn to Romans, the first chapter, and we will look at 18 through 20, 22 through 28, and verse 32. Starting with verse 18, it speaks of the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. How do you hold the truth in unrighteousness? You remember what we read about taking on a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? That's falling in line with this, holding the truth in unrighteousness. Liquor by the wink. It's, nobody knows I'm breaking the law, but maybe the waitress. See, I can still have the thing that I want. I can still name the name of Christ. I'm not breaking a law. Now let's go to verse 19. The latter part of it says, for God hath shewed it to him. What? His law of righteousness. God has shown these things to mankind. Otherwise, they would not have had a law in 1907 that was according to God's law. This state will not have liquor. We will not have gambling. And you could name all the others. We will not have abortion. We will not have legalized suicide. We will not have legal. That's in essence. It was a moral law. But it evolved. And now they're holding the truth in unrighteousness. And God has shown it. So this, just this little portion says, God hath shewed it unto them. Now go to the last part of verse 20, so that they are without excuse. Now I'm not jumping across any of these words to leave out anything that's important. I'm simply wanting you to get the meat of that thought. God has showed it, and now there is no excuse. Is that okay? Now let's look at verse 22, skip down to 22. I'm just doing this for the sake of time. They are professing themselves to be wise, but they became fools. I want to tell you something. There are those that were in our government, in our state, and actually our nation, that have denied the law of God. And they presented themselves as wise. Well, the people are going to do it anyway. They won't have to pay the penalty. They won't have to go out and bootleg in the hills anymore. They won't have to do it illegally. Now it's everybody can have it if they want it. You don't have to buy it if you don't want it. That kind of a thing. That thought. And they're going to say, we're so wise to make these kind of laws. So now, they're really become fools. Tell me something. The men that made those laws in 1907, and ever what year it was in the 1960s, see, That's over 50 years ago. Many of them are probably dead and gone now. What kind of judgment do you think will be pronounced upon their decisions and choices? They have influenced many people. They have influenced young people to go in a way that destroys lives. It destroys homes. It destroys children. It destroys. It's nothing but a destroyer. All of these things destroys lives. The judgments of God is going to be upon those who make these laws. Verse 23, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And look at what it says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man. They're making it a religious thing. You know, it's okay. How many churches out there would accept it? Oh, there may be some that still have a moral law, but there are those that don't. 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, that through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now we're getting into something according to what we're faced with right now. Did I make this up? Did I write this? Or is this the word of God? Shall we take a scissors and cut this out of the word of God in order to satisfy the law that is already the gates of floodgates are open? Do you think that we could all start campaigning today and say we want this thing reversed? All of these states that has made legalized marriage is coming to Oklahoma. It is. It may be very soon. I heard on the radio, in the news, that the courthouses are already preparing for the rush to get the marriage license for same-sex marriage in Oklahoma. They're preparing for it. So this is the word of God. And you young people, it's not my word. It's not anybody else's word. It's the word of God, and get it in your heart. Yes. Because this is what God's going to judge everyone on, his word. So God has given them up to their own uncleanness, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, who worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. That which he created, it was good. He created a man and a woman. He created marriage between a man and a woman. Yes. And he created that, and we cannot serve the creation more than the creator. For this God gave them up to the vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which was against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense. Do you know what that word recompense means? Penalty. They have received the penalty of their error which they meet or which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Do you know what that means? I think I preached on it just recently. I read what that meant. That word reprobate means unsearching. No longer do you have the ability to search out the truth of this if you give yourselves over to it and if you do not like to retain God in your knowledge. And it says he gave them over to an unsearching mind to do those things which are not, it says not convenient, but the meaning of that in another, in the reference, indecent, doing that which is indecent. He'll give us over. You want to do it? He'll let you do it. God is not a God that is going to force you and hold a whip over your head. He's not going to make you live for him. You have to choose it. He offers it, but you have to choose it. And being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness, covetousness, and all of these kind of things. Skip down. And they are not with understanding, without natural affection, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. Did you know that there are a lot of people in our society today, even in our government, that would no more take part in these kind of things, but they sympathize? And you could place them in the category right here that they take pleasure in those that do it. This is the word of God, and I know it's strong. But you know what? He says, walk in the light while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And if we don't remember these things, then we can lose them. For the next generation, they will not know the truth of what God's word says. What does the scripture say about change for a man that is seeking God? He says that the old life is put away. That's the change he wants to make in every one of our lives. That's the change he does make. He puts away the old life and we become a new creature in Christ. A scripture that we must not forget is this, Malachi 3 and 6. I am the Lord God. I change not. He's not going to change his mind on this subject today. Even though the floodgates are opened and we can't change the laws, we can't go gather it all back up and say, wait a minute, we'd like to go back to 1907. We'd like our state to be like it was in 1907. Can't do it. So we're in this world. I'm almost finished now, and I have two songs. One is 342, which we quoted just a little bit ago. Change and decay in all around I see. Now, what is the next part? But thou who changest not. And then what is the next? Abide with me. I want to tell you, God can have a people in the midst of all of this. And we spoke of it in Sunday school this morning, about the children of Israel going into captivity. And God ordered it to be so. And he told them, you build houses, plant your gardens, and you're going to have peace. I believe that we are going to be, as it says in Revelations, we're going to be compassed about with this wickedness before the end. The saints of God, wherever they are in all of the world, we're going to have this all around us. It has to happen before he comes. He said in his word, Jesus said it. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Lord. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how it's going to be. He said it. That's how it's going to be when I come back. And all you have to do is go over and read about Sodom and Gomorrah and the horrible conditions that those men would have been even willing to defile angels. And God said, I will take it off of the face of the earth. And he rescued Lot, his wife, and the two daughters. The angels that were sent there had to take hold of their hands to get them out. This thing has a power. They had loved ones there. Said, don't even look back. But his wife, no doubt she thought of her children that were caught up in all of that. And she looked back. And the scripture said she became as a pillar of salt. God sent a fire down out of heaven that totally annihilated even where it was, that city was setting. And he says, this is what you must look for. All of this laws, changing of the laws, changing of the times that Satan wants to do, it's going to happen. The floodgates are open. We cannot call it back, but you and I can keep ourselves in the change and decay that we see. We can trust in the one that does not change. You can trust in him. And you can say, abide with me. He will abide with his people. He will keep his people in the midst of this vile and wicked world. The last song is 460. I guess I want a songbook for that one. I didn't write it down. I have to end on a positive note because the message is not exactly beautiful. 460. And it says, through this changing world below, the writer here, Fanny Crosby, was blind, and yet she was able to see something. Through this changing world below, lead me gently as I go. Trusting thee, I cannot stray. We had a Sunday school lesson this morning on the faithfulness of God and our faithfulness to him. And here it is. Trusting thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. That's what God can do for you and me in the midst of this changing world. And then the chorus says, every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. We need it. Even if we're saved. Because of all of the things around about us, and I've said it to us here before, we need to make a covenant with our eyes because it's all around us. Nakedness. There was a time that women would not have been allowed on the street dressed as they are today, nor men. It was against the law of morality. But it's changed. And you've got to make a covenant with the Lord, with your eyes, with your soul. And so you need him every day and every hour. Let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me, his faithfulness, bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee. Pray for me.